Chapter 2. The Kamabaka Kingdom taught Sanji a handful of things. Some of these things were not exclusively related to improving his skills as a fighter and as a cook. Some of these things were about himself, as loath as he is to admit that, even in the privacy of his own mind. He's leaving soon. In about 2 days' time, he'll set sail to Sabaody for the rendezvous. But not now. No, not now. Now is just for him. The leggings are smooth and sheer as he glides them up his legs. He starts at the ankle, tugging them up the calf and past the knee, letting the black nylon material rest at about mid-thigh. His nails are silver today. The metallic sheen of them catches the lamplight. For all the meticulous care he has always taken with his hands, he doesn't know how he could possibly have missed this. The smooth glide of polish, the scent of acetone, the shimmer of gloss. This is one of the things Sanji has learned. Nail polish can be just as alluring on women as it is on himself. His dress tonight is dark blue, almost black, halting just before his leggings begin. His simple black corset shrinks his waist before his eyes. It somehow flares his hips out impossibly wider, creating the illusion of curves, drawing the eye, holding it there, impossibly seductive. It has flowing sleeves, hiding the lethal muscles of his arms, beneath flowing layers of blue, black, and glinting silver fabric, like moonlight reflecting off the impossibly dark water of the ocean. Sanji looks in the mirror. His visible eye is painted with dark, winged eyeliner. Silvery shadow is artfully smudged in the corners of his eye and along the curve of his lid. It makes his complexion stand out like Zoro's hair does in a crowd. Sanji picks up a brown makeup pencil. He carefully dots a few freckles here and there on the peak of his cheekbones to interrupt the pale landscape of his unblemished, freshly shaved face. When Sanji is finally done, freckles added, eyeshadow perfected, lips glossy and plump under a shade of simple dusky pink, something primal and unacknowledged that lives deep down inside him purrs with contentment from somewhere within his chest. Sanji cocks his hip out just a little, arches his back just a little further, feels himself settle into the black kitten strap heels that he's come to wield like daggers in a fight. The woman that stares back at him is tall. She's composed of miles and miles of leg, with hips perfect for holding onto, a broad and flat chest, delicate wrists, long, elegant fingers, and a face that drips seduction. Sanji lights a cigarette and feels powerful to hold it between his long fingers like this. Fuck, he thinks, suddenly, brutally overcome with emotion. I'm going to fucking miss this. The way I see it, Candy Boy, Ivan said, looking at Sanji like something the cat dragged in. Kuma must have sent you here for a reason. What's your point? Sanji had spat in return, looking, of all things, like a rabid animal, ready to charge. Ivankov had pulled Sanji out of a fight that started when some of the girls had tried to force him into a truly hideous dress. Sanji can feel his newly acquired black eye swelling as Ivan speaks, chastising him like he's a particularly disobedient puppy. It makes him fucking sick. My point, Candy Boy, is that Kuma saw something in you that would benefit from this place. Ivan raises one carefully sculpted eyebrow. Maybe you ought to do some soul searching, hmm? Sanji knows he can't take this part of himself back onto the deck of the Thousand Sunny. He knows it, but it still fucking sucks, he thinks, glaring down at his collection all spread out along the bed he'll soon be leaving behind, along with the rest of the godforsaken Kamabaka Kingdom. Dresses, skirts, corsets, padded bras, lacy bralettes, panties, thongs, leggings, stockings, garters, and heels in all shapes and sizes stare up at him from the bed. One bag, Sanji mumbles to himself, smoking his third cigarette in a row. I promised myself, one bag. The aforementioned nondescript black duffel bag lays empty at his feet. He stares down at the bed, willing the answers to be there. So here's the thing. He didn't actually sleep with any of the Okama. Well, fine. He didn't sleep with that many of them. Just the more feminine-looking ones. A handful of times. A big, warm hand cradling the back of his head, pinched around his neck while he gags around a mouthful of cock, thinking it's filthy. This is so fucking filthy, and I love it so much. Never let it stop. Sanji lights another cigarette. The pack is almost empty. The duffel bag is still empty. He knows. He fucking knows that this part of him does not belong on the Straw Hat ship. God, just the thought of it, and he wants to combust on the spot. Dirty, shameful, wrong. A voice in his head croons, sounding giddy at the prospect. They'd never let you sleep in the men's quarters anymore if they knew. Think Luffy would want a queer on his ship? Think Usopp would be comfortable sharing a bunk space with you? Think Zoro would still spar with you if he knew how fucking depraved you are? Shut up, he murmurs to himself. Still, the dresses he's staring down at don't have the answers. Sanji would rather die than have the crew find out about his proclivities. Hell, he's only recently come to terms with it himself. The thought of anyone else outside this small, stupid island knowing something so achingly shameful about him is absolutely fucking sickening. But he can't just let it go. Now that he's tasted it, the freedom that comes with accepting the kind of demons he has, he can't just go back to how it was before. He can't go back to never feeling the softness of his own freshly shaved legs. He can't walk past a women's lingerie store and ignore how sinfully spectacular it feels to slide a pair of lace and satin panties over his hips. He can't go back. That first night he'd tried it, he saw a freak in the mirror. He looked at himself in the mirror, trounced up in a frilly pink dress and a simple pair of panties and bubblegum sweet smack of cherry lipstick across his mouth, and he saw a fucking freak. And yet, he'd loved it. He'd cried like a child, had cried like he hadn't cried since that day on the Bratier where he chose to risk it all for a dream and follow a stupid kid in a straw hat. One of the girls, a short and stocky man with arms as strong as iron, had wordlessly taken him into his arms. "We know, Sanji-chan," he'd said as a somber mood had descended upon the whole, impossibly crowded room. His arms were warm and held him tight. He smelled like lavender and roses. Another girl had put his hand on his shoulder, in an instant, and someone else was agreeing with a sage, "Amen," in the background. They'd comforted him while he fell apart. He cried until he couldn't anymore, grieving for the loss of his ability to live in denial any longer. He grieved for the person he had pretended to be for so long. He kind of wants to cry now, but he doesn't. He fills the bottom of the bag, choosing his favorite pieces. A couple of pairs of shoes follow. On top, he adds the rest of his everyday clothes, hiding the pretty things underneath the button-ups and slacks. He pretends his hands don't shake as he zips the bag. As he approaches Sabori, Sanji adopts a mantra. "I can do this," he tells himself. "No one ever has to know," he says. "I can keep this under wraps." He thinks of seeing the crew, of being surrounded by Luffy's boundless joy once again, joking with Usopp, catering to Nami, sharing tea with Robin, of cuddling with Chopper, listening to Brooke and Frankie play their respective instruments, of sparring with Zoro. Zoro. I can do this. Sanji takes a deep breath. No one ever has to know. I can keep this under wraps. Fuck, he thinks bitterly. Story of my life. A ship flies out of the water. The chaos is loud. Really loud. People are screaming. Waves crash against the shore. The ship flying out of the ocean is crumbling. But all Sanji can hear is his own heartbeat. A traitor, as part of himself, whispers, he's going to know. Zoro is going to look at you and know, just like any of them will look at you and know. The thought makes his stomach cramp with nerves. Under his suit, he's wearing a white lace bralette and matching panties. He must have checked a million times just to be 100% sure that no one could tell he was wearing women's underwear. God damn it, he's such a freak. Underneath his usual clothes. He doesn't think anyone can tell. He can't tell. The Okama reassured him about a million times that they couldn't tell. So he allowed himself that small comfort. The gentle whisper of satin and lace against his chest is a balm to his nerves. He's intensely grateful for that comfort, he realizes in this moment, as he catches a hint of green hair among the plummeting wreckage. He's gonna know, the voice hisses. Sanji imagines himself stomping it to the ground. I can do this, Sanji swears to himself viciously. Then he sees him. Oh. Oh, shit. Sanji bites clean through his cigarette. I can do this. Zoro stops a few feet in front of him. You're taller, Zoro says. His single eye is discerning. You're broader. You're more muscled. You're hotter. You're so much hotter. How? You're missing an eye. And you're still infuriatingly hot, and your coat is open. Where the fuck is your shirt? And fuck, fucking fuck, I can see the piercing now. Fuck, you're evil. You're so evil. The all blue is not worth this. The inside of his head is a rush of agonized screaming and of arousal. Be normal! The voice in his head screams at him. I'm wearing heels, Sanji says. Zoro's eye goes wide. Sanji inhales the chomped off bit of his cigarette that's still in his mouth. He promptly doubles over, choking on ash and his shame, his insurmountable shame and fuck. They're subtle, is the thing. They're really so subtle, Sanji had thought. He just couldn't part from them, in all honesty. He'd gotten used to being 2 or 3 or even 4 or 5 inches taller. He got used to the ache in the arches of his feet after a long day, to the click-clack of his shoes when he moved. He got used to the way they made him feel. He thought he could explain it away as a quirk of his training. There's nothing like getting roundhoused with a 2-inch block heel to crack an opponent's sternum. And they're pretty nondescript anyways. They're solid black with only a little more of a point at the toe than he used to wear. And with a subtle, so subtle, 2-inch chunky heel lined with steel at the edges, it was a custom job. The point was, no one had to fucking know. In his mind, a cooler version of himself responds to Zoro, yeah, I guess I'm taller. Or maybe you're just shorter, Marimo. But he didn't say that. He said the worst possible thing. He finishes coughing up a lung. He knows his face is red, knows he looks like a fucking tool, and knows that Zoro is still staring at him. So Sanji does the only thing he can do. He aims a kick for Zoro's stupid, infuriatingly hot face. Zoro raises a single sword to block the effort. He's stronger, Sanji notes, fascinated by the effort he has to exert against the dull edge of the blade. He flexes his leg, pivots, strikes again with double the force. Zoro blocks again, has to shift into a wider stance to accommodate the weight of Sanji's leg, straining against the sword, and the two sides of Zoro's coat part around the flex of his chest muscles. And there, right there, is not one, but two piercings. Zoro has not just one, but two nipple piercings. They break from the strike, and Sanji would never admit to breathing as hard as he is right now, because what the fuck? How is it that 2 years can pass? He thinks to himself, hysterically, and he still can't get over the fucking piercings. Sanji was so sure the excitement would have worn off that the novelty of a man like Zoro having jewelry through his nipple, correction, nipples, plural now, goddammit, would have run its course. What shit cook? Sanji tries desperately to compose himself, cursing his luck all the while, when something catches his eye. What's in your mouth, shit for brains? Zoro does a swift step back, closes his mouth with a snap. Okay. Fuck him, Sanji thinks. The less he knows or notices about the idiot, the better for his sanity. Whatever, let's get back to the sunny. Stick with me, you'll just get lost. Zoro grunts in response, but follows anyways. The crew reunites. The sunny sails on. Sanji keeps his secret carefully hidden, carefully locked away. He wears his heels, and no one bats an eye after the first time they see him use them in battle. Surprisingly, things are good. Sometimes, when they dock, Sanji gathers his things and sneaks away. He rents a room at whatever shithole inn he can find, and he takes his careful time applying his makeup, shaving his legs, slipping into something sinful and gorgeous. And, for a moment, the terror of being discovered for what he is abates. Sanji thinks he's going crazy. He's finally losing his goddamn sanity, and it's all Zoro's fault. If it wasn't enough to be the hottest thing to ever grace the face of the world, and be perpetually fucking oblivious to it, he's figured out a way to drive Sanji even crazier. Sometimes, in rare quiet moments on the ship, or even when sparring, Sanji can hear a faint clinking sound coming from Zoro. Stop that. He growls, glaring at Zoro where he's resting against the rails of the ship, eyes closed but still awake. Sanji came out to hand the wonderful girls the drinks he had slaved over, only to hear the fucking sound coming right from Zoro himself. Zoro opens his eye. Ch! He continues making the sound. He makes it on the deck. He makes it in the men's cabin. He makes it in towns they dock at, and even in the kitchen. And Sanji can't figure out how the fuck he's doing it. It happens when he's preparing breakfast one early morning, before the sun has risen. Sanji is enjoying a leisurely cigarette and a cup of coffee while carefully taking inventory when he hears the unmistakable squeak of the door creaking open. Sanji expects to see Brooke, or even Robin, coming into the kitchen in the early morning light for some tea or coffee. The kettle is already on the stove. But, as he turns to offer a cup of tea or coffee to whoever has joined him, Sanji does not find Brooke or Robin. Instead, Sanji sees Zoro. Sanji forgot that Zoro had watch last night. Someone must have just relieved him of his post. Sanji goes to turn around, content to ignore the bastard, when Zoro lifts his arms, stretches his whole body out tight, and yawns, dropping his entire mouth open with such force that his jaw creaks. That's when Sanji sees it. Right there, nestled in the middle of Zoro's mouth, sits a simple gold piercing, running straight through the middle of Zoro's tongue. Sanji freezes. Zoro's arms fall back to his sides. He rubs at his eye absently, and then comes the sound. The clicking. Zoro is playing with his tongue piercing. Zoro is clicking his tongue piercing against his teeth. On the stove, the kettle screams. It perfectly echoes the voice in Sanji's head. Zoro notices him staring.
What?
He grumbles, eyeing Sanji with suspicion. You're... Sanji is suddenly so aroused it hurts to breathe. His cock throbs in time with his thundering heartbeat. Zoro absently scratches at his peck while eyeing Sanji with suspicion. He hooks his index finger through the ring on his right nipple, tugs a bit. It's like Zoro doesn't even notice he's doing it. Sanji's mouth goes bone dry. He wants to put his mouth on those.
What, cook?
Sanji turns around, quickly, just as blood starts to drip out of his nose. Fuck, fucking, shit, fuck, stupid fuck, he curses, frantically searching for a dish towel while simultaneously hiding both his spouting nose and raging erection from Zoro. He's so hard he could shatter diamonds, and he can't stop thinking about Zoro's tongue, how it would feel sliding hot and wet and oh so right around his cock, the velvet heat of his mouth contrasted by the cool metal catching around the head and... Get a grip, Sanji. Get a fucking grip.
Cook?
Zoro says, concern heavy in his voice. He's close, Sanji notes, with abject terror, and turns around to find Zoro scant steps away from him, head cocked to the side like a puppy in confusion. Get the fuck away! I'm fine! Sanji snaps, turning to remove the hissing kettle from the heat of the stove. Zoro steps closer as Sanji sets the kettle down. Back off, Marimo! I'm fine! Zoro is close enough that Sanji can smell him, and oh, this is bad, bad, bad! Zoro's eye is narrowed in equal parts confusion and determination, and he's only coming closer, backing Sanji up against the counter, trapping him. I said back off! Sanji shouts, with desperation, planting his hands on either side of Zoro's chest and pushing back, hard. Zoro stumbles, but his reflexes are quick. In a flat second, Sanji's wrists are locked tight in Zoro's hands, and Zoro is stalking forward like a predator, his expression angry and coiled, backing Sanji up, up, up against the counter till he's bending uncomfortably, trying to keep his dick away from Zoro's hip, but he's making it impossible, coming in like that with no space between them and, oh, God, oh!
Oh.
Zoro breathes out on an exhale. He's got Sanji pressed to his front, despite Sanji's best efforts to lean back and as far away as possible. Sanji's wrists are still held iron tight between his hands and pinned flush against his own chest. Zoro's wider frame has him boxed in, trapped against the kitchen counter so tightly that Sanji can feel the edge of the tabletop digging into his spine and the heat of Zoro's skin through his clothes. Sanji's breathing like he's just run a marathon. There's got to be a smear of blood under his nose. His face is undoubtedly red and flushed, and between them, Sanji's stiff-as-granite prick is pressed urgently against Zoro's abdomen. There's nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. Try as he might, Sanji can't look away. His eyes are fixed like glue to Zoro's own gaze. He can't look away, can't even breathe, because he needs to see the moment. Needs to make himself see the moment that Zoro understands how fucked up he is, how perverse and wrong and, well, shit, the only way it could be worse is if Zoro caught him in a dress. But the disgust doesn't come. Zoro hums and shifts impossibly closer.
That's new?
He remarks. But it comes out as a question, and Sanji can't catch a break, can't fucking think with Zoro moving like that, and... Sanji's traitorous hips buck into the friction of Zoro sliding his impossibly tight abdomen against the unmistakable hardness of his cock. His whole body twitches, one huge heave of uncontrollable movement, and please, please, please let it be over. But then Zoro grinds down, hard. Sanji throws his head back, his skull cracking against the upper cabinets of the kitchen. He can't hear the sound over the obscene moan that claws its way out of his throat.
Hmm.
Zoro half grunts, half moans, and oh fuck, does it again. And Sanji is lost. His chest is heaving so hard he thinks he's going to have a heart attack, and he can't breathe through the rushing, throbbing demand of his arousal, let alone think. Cook. Zoro starts to speak, closes his mouth. The piercing clicks against his teeth. Sanji's eyes slam closed. He can't look anymore. Squirms in the impossibly tight hold the other man has on him, willing his limbs to reform into muscle where they've turned into jelly under the force of his arousal. But squirming just rubs his cock against Zoro that much more, and Zoro grunts when Sanji's thigh shifts, and Sanji's eyes fly open at the sound, and Zoro? It happens in a rush of air. Suddenly his wrists are free and Zoro's hands are tight like a vice around his hips, lifting Sanji up onto the counter like it's nothing, like he weighs nothing, manhandling him like an animal and stepping into the open V of Sanji's spread legs, leaning down, down, down to press his own groin hot and tight against Sanji's prick. All at once he's grinding down as fluid as a wave, ripping a high, needy whine from deep, deep in Sanji's chest, and oh, it's so good, so, so good. Cook. Zoro growls, and the sound is subsonic, vibrating down to the marrow of Sanji's bones, and he's helpless to stop this, helpless to do anything but twist his hands in the back of Zoro's shirt and tug him closer. Sanji thrusts up and grinds down with everything he's got. Zoro's head drops to Sanji's shoulder with a dull thunk, and his mouth is on the exposed skin of Sanji's collarbone, wet and hot and insistent, panting just as hard as he is. Oh, fuck, Sanji whispers, reverent, losing himself in the push and drag of their cocks together. Even through both their pants, it's intoxicating. Zoro latches his mouth onto Sanji's collarbone and sucks. Then, something shockingly smooth and warm and metal slides hot and wet up from Sanji's collarbone to his neck. It's the piercing, his brain shrieks. And before Sanji has time to process that, deal with the impossibly arousing weight of it, Zoro is gone. Uh-huh. Stand up, stand up. Zoro hisses, hands groping uselessly at the button of Sanji's trousers, just as Sanji gathers himself and slips off the counter. Zoro tugs his pants apart, sliding the zipper down, and fuck! Ice floods Sanji's veins in an instant as he scrambles desperately to remember what he put on this morning. Because if it's panties, oh god, if it's panties, this is all over. Oh hell! But he's wearing plain black briefs, perfectly normal, perfectly masculine. And before he has time to feel relieved, Zoro slides to his knees and sucks down Sanji's aching cock in one swift movement. Zoro! Sanji shouts and slaps a hand over his mouth to keep from screaming. It's too much. It's so much. The heat and the slick and the suction of his mouth bobbing up and down furiously over his cock. Like Zoro's just gagging for it. Just desperate as can be. And then Sanji feels it. He feels the flick of the little metal ball against his frenulum, and Sanji's world goes white with pleasure. Zoro swallows. He doesn't get up off his knees, and Sanji is suddenly terrified, mortified, until Zoro grunts once, like the sound was kicked out of him. He notices then that Zoro's fist is in his pants, jerking himself through his own orgasm, still on the floor. Lips cherry red from Sanji's cock, his one eye shut tight in agony and ecstasy at the same time. Sanji's cock gives one valiant jerk where it hangs out of his pants, slowly going limp. Oh shit, Sanji whispers. He lets himself slide to the floor, back still against the counter. His ass hits the floor and suddenly he's facing Zoro, looking the damn Marimo in the eye, and Zoro smirks. If I'd known what all that staring and nagging was about earlier, Zoro remarks, laughing through the rest of whatever else he was going to say. Shut up! Sanji kicks him lightly on the side. Zoro sighs, content, and rests his huge, hot hand on Sanji's thigh. Sanji can't fucking help himself. He shivers under the touch, still sensitive and absolutely reeling. Zorro blew me, he thinks hysterically. Zorro blew me, and then he came because it turned him on to blow me.
Never thought you swung that way, Cook.
Zorro's thumb makes small, leisurely circles on Sanji's thigh. Shut up, shithead. I don't swing that way. I don't. I just couldn't help it. It was a one-time thing. It'll never happen again. Zoro laughs while Sanji's voice fails him. There must be some way I can fix this. Some way he doesn't think I'm a... But all the thoughts are frozen like molasses in his brain, sticky and tangled and unsortable.
Sure you don't, shit cook, he says.
But Zoro doesn't sound disgusted. And besides, Zoro sucked Sanji off, not the other way around. So he can't hate him that much, right?
Hey, stop that,
Zoro says, admonishing, and removes Sanji's hand from his hair where he had started tugging. Zoro must see the panic in his eyes, because his expression changes from languid enjoyment of the afterglow to concern. Sanji needs to go, get up, go, run. The door to the kitchen creaks open. A slow boil of panic rolls in his stomach. Shit! Sanji whispers, furiously, fumbling to get his dick back in his pants and jetting to his feet, heart rabbiting like a death toll in his ears.
Cook?
Zoro whispers, wiping his semen-covered hand on his own pants, still crouched on the floor, hiding from view.
Sanji!
He hisses. And oh, isn't that a novelty? But Sanji doesn't have time to think about the sound of his name in Zoro's voice. He has a crew to feed. As soon as breakfast is over, Sanji hides. After chain-smoking an entire pack straight down to the filter, Sanji finally gathers himself and heads back into the kitchen. Zoro is sitting on the countertop, waiting. Neither of them say a word. Zoro's tongue-piercing clicks. Can you stop that already? Sanji bites out, rolling up his sleeves and starting the water in the sink. Someone has to do the dishes, crisis aside.
Why?
Because it's fucking distracting as shit.
Because it turns you on, now that you know what it is.
Sanji goes beet red from the tips of his ears down to his chest. He refuses to look at Zoro. He hears the unmistakable sound of fabric shifting as Zoro slides off the counter and comes to stand behind him. A hand touches Sanji's hip. Its grip is possessive.
I don't care if you like women, or if you like both, or if you lie about liking women and like men instead.
Sanji splutters indignantly.
Doesn't matter,
Zoro adds. This close, Sanji can hear Zoro's earrings chime together when he leans closer to say, quiet as a mouse, but not in a whisper.
Because I liked it.
Sanji's breath escapes him in a shuddering exhale. The tips of his toes are tingling.
Cook, I want to have sex with you.
The room is suddenly so quiet.
What about you?
Sanji asks.
Hmm?
Do you like both, or...
No,
Zoro says, as emotive as ever. Which is to say, not at all.
I just like men.
Sanji swallows.
Are you... gay?
At the mere utterance of the word, Sanji tenses all over.
Yeah, I guess.
You guess? Zoro probably shrugs, but Sanji doesn't know because he still refuses to look. Okay, Sanji says after a moment. Let's have sex, then.
Just don't fuck this up, that voice in Sanji's head says.
Sanji swallows it down. He's got this. He's totally in control.